Let us turn now to that passage we read together, the Song of Solomon in the third chapter. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. I'm looking this evening, as God will help us, at the fourth verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Amen. God bless that portion again to us. We want this evening to look at how it is that the Christian should be retaining, keeping hold of each discovery of Christ, each fresh discovery of the Saviour, retaining him with us. Every believer here, every one of us here, who have been plucked from hanging over hell and are now safe in Christ. Every one of us, we know that there's no one like Christ. There's no one who can fill our thoughts like Christ. There's no one whom our heart will run after like Christ. There's no one whom our soul desires and delights in like Christ. And this book, of course, is full of Christ. The Song of Solomon is full of the Saviour in his wonderful, kind relationship with his church. That's what we find on the pages, the precious pages of this book. And it is a joy and it's a thrill for us as Christians to read a short section, just 11 short verses of this book. We can stand back at the phraseology used, we can stand back admiring in awe the full flowing language that pours out and is used in this chapter. And we're also in awe rather at the intimacy with which the church expresses her love for her Saviour. The closeness, the real affection and the bond that's so evident that it even makes us, who are the Lord's people, sometimes uncomfortable. It's so close. And often, when we've heard some of the men of perhaps past days preaching a sermon on the Song of Solomon, it was sweet and even emotional for us in ways. Certainly I can say myself, I love to hear this book handled sympathetically by a minister of the gospel. Love to hear men preaching on it, opening its pages gently, taking me by the hand, leading me to my Saviour. This book arrests us, stops us. This book impresses us. Our emotions are drawn out. But you know, it's not just a book of emotion. It's not just a book to get Christians weepy-eyed. It's a book to teach us, to help us. This book might not seem so doctrinal as Paul's letters, but it still is full of lessons for us. It's full of helps to maintain our walk with Christ. What to do when we get lost in the way, when we get cold in the way, when we get unaffected by the gospel, by thoughts of the Saviour. It's a great teaching book, as well as a sweet emotional book. And think on this for a moment. You know, sometimes pure, we all know, are the Lord's people here. You know, when sometimes a sermon, and your eyes in that sermon are raised up to gaze into the eyes of Christ, there's the warmth of his look towards you. It's spiritual joy when that happens. And we think ourselves in these situations, perhaps they're not as often as we'd like them, but when we have these special times, this is great. Now I can feel my heart warm and warming to Jesus. Now I can feel the ice melting on my soul. Now I can feel my love really burning. Now I can say in the sermon while I sit here, I love him. I love the Lord. He's my Savior. And you say, well, this is right. This is what I want to be back to. This is the place I want to remain. And I'm looking forward, if it's a communion time, I'm looking forward to days ahead. More of this is what I want. Or next week's sermon, I want this again. And on the middle of the week, at the prayer meeting, I want it again. This is what I've been looking for. But the days ahead can be a disappointment. Your familiar dryness has returned. And that high point, that epoch of love, faded as you get back home. Or maybe an hour after you get back home, or the next day. And you're depressed at being back to square one. Can you identify, Christian, with this situation? Is it familiar to you? I know I can. I believe that there's something in this verse to help us. What is here? We're going to look this evening at the four things that the woman did. Now, the woman in the Song of Solomon represents the Church of Christ. Those who are, as we said last night, united to him. Those who are his body, those who are his bride, those whom he loves. That's who this woman is here. It's the Church of Christ and individual Christians within it. And we want to look at four things that she did in this verse 4. We read in verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them. First thing she did, she passed from them. And then, but I found him whom my soul loveth. She found him. Thirdly, I held him and would not let him go. A hold that is not going to give up. And then finally, I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I brought him. I passed from them. I found him. I held him. I brought him. First of all, then, I passed from them. Now, the I, of course, is the woman here. Christians, the Church of Christ. I passed from them. And in particular, the woman here represents Christians without the felt presence of Christ. You see what she had in the beginning of this verse. This chapter, I sought him whom my soul loveth, but I found him not. I sought him, I will seek him whom my soul loveth in the streets, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, and to them I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? This was her going about from place to place without the presence, without the awareness of the nearness of her Saviour, of her love. She is seeking for Jesus. And in that state of looking about, she comes across and encounters the city watchmen. The watchmen of the city. Those who were the guards of it by night. Who kept a lookout for enemies and for trouble within. These are the ministers and elders guarding the flock. Those who are appointed with the spiritual care over you, your ministers and your elders, these are the watchmen watching over the people of God. And she encounters them. These men are there guarding the flock, and they come across this lady and they inquire of her. But you remember when Mary, jumping forward to the time of the resurrection, you remember when Mary went to the open sepulchre, and there she saw an angel. But you know what? An angel wasn't enough for Mary. She turned away from an angel. How many of us would do that? "He's not here," she said. "Where is he?" She didn't care for angels. She cared for her Lord. And this woman, we find here, "I passed from them." She passed. She, as it were, surpassed, went beyond, looking just at her elders, just at her ministers. And you know, the watchmen, they felt no disappointment that she was moving on past them. They felt no anguish or jealousy that she was moving on past them. Their pride was not injured by it. These elders, they were on the lookout for the flock. And they came to her aid. They asked her what she was doing. And you see, in her seeking after Christ, you know what her first encounter was on the way to recovery, on the way to recovering the presence of the Saviour? It was a faithful ministry and pastoral care. What a good place to start looking. What a good place to start looking. She went up to them and immediately she asked them, "Have you seen him? Have you seen Jesus? Can you tell me where he is?" And although we're not told much about that conversation, I have no doubt that these good men described the Lord to us. And they spoke and told her of his grace, of his infinite grace, and of his willingness, his great willingness to meet with her. And they evidently set before her eyes, by their speaking to her, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not a great encounter with the ministry of the Word? This is a picture here before us of a Christian looking for Christ in the means of grace. You see, she's had to leave her own little place. She's had to wander out in the street. She's encountered the watchmen, the carers. That is where she begins to inquire of the Lord. It is the place to look. If you are here, like me so often, where do we look? We go to the means, the steps, the aids, the handrails that Christ himself has appointed, where he's promised to be. When we feel our loss of Jesus, it is to faithful preaching we should go. Never, never to anything else. If we move away from a congregation like this one for any number of reasons, jobs or whatever, or even if you're just going on holiday, do not subject your soul to anything less than the preaching, the pure preaching of the gospel. If you have to get out of a service because the man or even the woman is not preaching the gospel, get out of it. But do not subject your soul to anything less than gospel ministry. But the point is made here. Seek Jesus Christ in the means of grace. In the public, outward means of grace. When you've lost him at home, when you've lost him in your heart, he's most often found in the public means. Now we read in this verse, "It was but a little that I passed from them." It was but a little that I passed from them. Listen, this is a good sign. You know what? Not far from the watchmen, not far from our ministers, not far from our elders, she found her beloved. You see, he was near them, and they were near to him. I know what happened. It made it a lot easier for their flock to find the Saviour. Ah, ministers and elders here. Isn't this a lesson, a warning, a dreadful warning? When we're close to the Lord ourselves, not far past him, much easier for our people to meet with Christ. But she passed from them. And then she says, secondly, I found him. I found him. Here's a lady, you know. And she didn't stop with a sermon. She used the means, and she used the means of grace well. She attended to the means of grace provided, but she surpassed them. She used them as a stepping stone to her Saviour that they're meant to be. You know, Christian friend, you and I, we should get much more of Christ than a dosage 3 times a week, twice on Sabbath and other prayer meetings. Much, much more. She surpassed them. You use the means. That's what they're for. But pursue Jesus further. Get more of him than you get just from sitting on the Sabbath service. Build on what you hear. Meditate upon it. Bring it near to your soul. Apply it as closely as you can to your life. Meditate on what you learned of your Saviour. This section here, this phrase, I found him whom my soul loveth, teaches us that the blessing, that there's a great blessing of not resting in the means of grace alone. This is in no way to denigrate the appointed ordinances of God. But they are not really the end in themselves. The end is not to say, on the way out the door, that was a good sermon. It's to find Christ. And there's all the difference in the world. Some of you here, you may be adherents. And you can tell on the way out, you can tell if it was a good sermon. You can tell your parents, or your family, or your friends, that was a good sermon, that one wasn't a good sermon. But have you found Christ? Then you're missing the whole point. And oh, Christian friend, this applies to us. Are we not guilty the same way? But you know what, communion time, let us set it as our heart's goal to find Christ. You know, this sermon, even in this way, poor in its presentation and all the rest of it, but this is Christ speaking. This is his message. It's his word. It's his care. It's the gentleness of the Lord that comes through in this passage. His kindness to his people. His affection toward them. How he's laid out these guides, these signposts to get to where he wants them to be. Ah, at communion time, let us find him. Let us not be able to say it was good at this or that or the next thing. But oh, I met with my Saviour. That were the step that I needed to stand on to see him face to face. I caught a glimpse of him. I caught a view of my Lord. Here this woman has found the one whom her soul loves. And her love has reached to the very, very core of her being. You notice she says, not, I learned more about him. I heard more about him. But I found him. Not he was mentioned. But I found him. And you know, when she says here, in verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them. But I found him whom my soul loveth. There's a tremble and a thrill in her voice as she speaks, isn't there? You can read it off the page. But I found him. That was what she wanted. That's what made her full of joy. All her desires are completely satisfied at this point when she's found Christ through the means of grace. Can you, Christian friend, can you identify with this? Have you known this? Do you know it? From time to time, the means of grace. You see and meet with Christ and you say there, well, my desires are completely satisfied, completely met. There's nothing I want but him. Nothing else I care about but him. Oh, when he's in the room. Oh, when he's in front of me, I can't take my eyes off him at all. I can't look this way and I can't look that way. I've only got eyes for him. She had lost him. And it had been hard. And she'd suddenly realized that she lost him. And she'd been frantically searching here and there. But you know, she didn't realize just how much she'd missed him until she met him again. Until she found him. Love is very often like that. And oh, where I am from the island of Lewis, and I'm sure the Highlanders here as well. Highlanders and the Islanders are particularly well known for being homesick. You go away, you go down into the cities. And oh, there's a homesickness. But you notice, it's when you come home again that you feel it strongest. You knew it was there all the way along, but it's when you come back to your home, you say, well, I miss this place more than I realized. I love this place more than I know. That is the love of this woman to our Saviour. And through the means that God has provided to worship Jesus Christ, we get fresh times, new opportunities to meet with Him, to come close to Him, to experience His company. And you know, in these times, suddenly, it's also clear, suddenly we realise what it's like again. What it's all about again. Suddenly, this is what it's all about. Why don't I remember this? Why haven't I taken up with this more? This is what it's all about. It becomes instantly clear in these moments, doesn't it? This is the one my soul loves. There have I been sinning. There have I been wallowing in activity. There have I even been engaged in an intellectual appreciation of sermons. But oh, this is what I want. Now I see Jesus. Don't understand how we can ever have forgotten how good it is to be with Him. We could spend much time this evening thinking about that. Think about the ways my soul loves the Saviour. Take time and do that this evening yourself. Label out for yourself, list them out. Say, my soul loves Jesus because. You could start with the one we had in Psalm 116. Times of spiritual clarity. Suddenly the veil seems to be torn away and just not even in sight. Not just the curtains open, but they've been pulled down. These times of clarity are precious, aren't they? But you know what? What we learn here is that they should not be fleeting. They should not be fleeting. You know what the third thing that this woman says? I held and would not let him go. I held and would not let him go. Here there is an expression of desire to keep the blessing. Keep it. Having understood again how much she enjoys her beloved's company, she expresses this desire to keep a hold of it. And by taking hold of him, she puts into her action, she says by her actions, her conviction that she wants this to endure. A holding is to detain, to keep, to retain. That's what she's done here with our Lord. She's held him. She's holding on. She vividly says, not with her mouth, but with her hands, I want no more absence. Stay. Now, of course, Jesus holds us. We know that, Christian, don't we? Underneath the everlasting arms. He holds us. Our eternal security depends upon Jesus Christ holding us. But the sweetness of his near presence. Oh, comes best when we hold on to him. We're not going to move. We can't be lost once we're saved. We know ourselves, don't we? How fleeting sometimes these sweet moments are. It's like a pendulum going from one side to the other. Down the middle, just for a half second as it passes, there was Christ with us. We're back up again. There he is again. Oh, it's passing us so quickly. It ought not to be so. Anything less than the presence of Christ is to be grieved over. It doesn't always mean being engaged in sin. There can be testing times. But it is always to be grieved over. So far then, in this verse, we have the Christian who sought Christ. And she sought Christ through the means of grace. And she's revived in her delight at Him. And she finds Him. But she's aware of her past failure. She remembers that this has happened before. And she holds on, saying, I'm not willing to part. And it says not only that she held Him, but she would not let Him go. She would not let Him go. That suggests to us that something came in to prize Him apart. But she held on tighter. It may have been any number of things. It may have been a distraction. A legitimate thing in itself, come in as a distraction to see if we'll take our eyes off Christ. No, He's gone. May have been a temptation. May have been a testing. It may have been Christ Himself saying, I will go a little further, as He said to the two on the road to Emmaus. You remember when these two men were walking on. And they came to Emmaus and Christ made as though He would go further. They said, no, come in, the night's too late. Come in and have worship with us. Come in and eat with us. Come in and say grace for us. They held Him. They would not let Him go. Even if it was Christ Himself who in testing said, I'm going to go a little further. No. The two on the road to Emmaus wouldn't hear of it, and neither will this woman. She would not let Him go. No, when things are vying for your attention, after you've met with Christ, and they will be sure of it, trying to catch your eye, trying to see what you'd rather look at, remember this. Do not let Him go. You see, Jesus is very content to give you more of His time. Is He willing to do this? Yes, 1,000 times. Do not let Him go. But you know the last thing that she says in verse 4 is this. Until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I brought Him home, is what she says. Now, there are different opinions as to what it means, her mother's house, the chamber of her that conceived me. Many people take this that the spiritual mother of the Christian is the church. And so that is the reference here. And that is true. The spiritual mother of the Christian is the church in many ways. But I think what is best and what best fits this passage is as follows. You see, there is here a drawing back to privacy. She was on her bed at the beginning and she sought Him and she couldn't find Him. You know, Christian friend, most often when we've lost Him because of our own failing, we don't find Him again very easily by ourselves. She sought Him and she couldn't find Him. And she went out a little further and she couldn't find Him. And she went to the means of grace. She was getting more and more public in her seeking of the Saviour again. But here there's a drawing back to privacy. Back into my mother's chambers. Back into the chambers of her that conceived me. You see, when you seek Him, when you find Him, when you've had sight of Him and comfort from Him in the ordinances, in the preaching or in the service, you've had to go out of yourself. You've had to go out of your privacy. The Lord is most often revealed in the public means of grace. To those who've lost that intenseness of His nearness and of His care, He's most often found again in the public means of grace. And so here we have a woman who, having had a sight of Christ in the preaching, and through that a meeting with Him, and through that a holding on to Him, she takes Him with her back home. She takes Him with her into the private place. We must do this tonight. every time we finish hearing the Word of God, take Christ with you back home. Have you sat in a sermon, delighted with everything you hear, even by faith seeing Christ, thanking Him for that wonderful vision? But once you're home, nothing's changed. Once you're home, you wonder where He went. Bring Him to your mother's chambers. Bring Him home with you. Don't be content to meet Him only in public. You know, this, I believe, is an over-reliance on the means of grace. And we've probably all done just that. We've over-relied upon the means of grace. This woman can teach us. She wants Him in her home too. And He'll come. He'll come. You know, He'll come with us on the way home tonight. In our cars on the way home. All the way through. We're going to stop to get some message for tomorrow, even perhaps. Make sure He comes with you. When you get back into your home, make sure He's still there. Invite Him over the threshold of your home as you enter the door. Invite Him by prayer. Invite Him by meditation. Invite Him by thoughts upon Calvary. Invite Him by thinking of the wonderful commemoration of the Lord's Supper tomorrow, but make sure He comes with you. Don't leave Him outside. Don't leave Him on the threshold. Take Him in with you, and He'll come. That is what this woman does. She takes Him home. Don't drift from a spiritual high under a sermon of the Word of God without a care, without even realizing, without even thinking, and suddenly it's all gone. Where did He go? When you get back to the house, prolong your communion with Him, with this prayer and meditation. And after meeting with Jesus, know this as well. There will come a point, sooner or much later, there will come a point when He offers to leave you. What will you do? What will you do? You have something else vying for your attention. If you don't notice that something else is calling you away from the Lord, He'll be gone. He is sensitive as the hind, as the deer. Everywhere you go, ask Him to come along. Bring Him along. And this is the outworking of her earlier promise. I held Him. I would not let Him go. Well, here's going to be the test, friend. Not just now, but later. And oh, wouldn't it be good when we meet again tomorrow morning at the communion? We're not coming to begin our communion with the Lord, but to continue it, to enlarge it, to encourage each other, and to continue to have fellowship with the Lord. Let us bring Him home. We hope for much sweetness in our communion services, and it's right that we should. But let us seek much of His presence in our home, in our hearts, all the time, and not just when the communions come round. Take Him home. I brought Him to my mother's house. Let us pray. O Lord and God, what mercy Thou dost bestow upon us. Yea, Lord, it thrills us and it satisfies us when we get glimpses of Him through the lattice. It does, O Lord, Thou knowest our heart jumps for joy. Stay with us, O longer. Help us to meditate on Thee. Oh, we would not be so willing to give Thee up when other things come calling. Help us rather to take the Lord with us, whatever we have to do, wherever we have to go, and go nowhere that He will not be with us. Deliver us from sin, iniquity, wickedness. Increase our faith and love, for our blessed Saviour is worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, Amen.